أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters. In ayah number 10, the last ayah which we discussed in our previous lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that sawa'un alayhim a'andhartahum am lam tundhirhum la yu'minun, that the mushrikeen and these polytheists, the ones to whom you were sent and the ones who have rejected you and who have failed to believe in the message of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sawa'un alayhim. Most of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has passed the verdict and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that most of them, they will not bring iman. Sawa'un alayhim. It is equal to them. A'andhartahum, whether you warn them, am lam tundhirhum, or you do not warn them. Allah says for a second time, la yu'minun, they will not bring iman. Now the question is, why warn them? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they have chosen the path of disbelief, and majority of them have chosen that path. So why, if majority, most of them, most of the audience that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to, most of them are not going to believe and are not going to bring iman, oh Allah, why don't you just show me those who I need to be talking to? It makes my task so much more easier. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you still have to warn every one of them. But why? Why does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still have to do this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this, that in the next verse, that even though majority and most of them, the audience you are speaking to, most of them are not going to bring iman. And we saw that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact in the life of every Nabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that a Nabi will come before Allah with one or two followers. One or two followers from thousands he was sent to. A Nabi will come on the day of Qiyamah with not a single follower even. But the duty and the responsibility of the Nabi is to warn and to invite and to encourage. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told in the next verse, which we discussed this evening, إِنَّمَا تُنذِرْ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرْ. You shall only warn. إِنَّمَا. إِنَّمَا in the Arabic is used to denote hasr, what we call. Hasr means exclusivity, to give the meaning of only. In other words, the only one you are warning in the audience, you do not know who it is. Innama tundir. You are warning man, the one. Man in Arabic is used to denote somebody that's unknown. So in that whole audience, you are speaking to thousands of them and perhaps millions of them. Majority of them have decided not to believe in you, and Allah has decided and passed the verdict that they will not believe. But there's somebody in the audience, man. There is somebody. They might be a minority. It might be one or two out of the thousands. But there's one man. There's somebody in that audience. Allah says, man. اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرِ. He is following the reminder. What you are saying, he is thinking about it. The message and the reminder, a dhikr, the advice or the reminder, you are speaking and you are talking. There is one or two in the audience who is following the reminder, who is following the advice. وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. And he fears Ar-Rahman. He has come to realize that he needs to bring Iman in Ar-Rahman. So خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. He fears in Ar-Rahman. He fears Ar-Rahman بِالْغَيْب, without even seeing Ar-Rahman. So that is why you will have to, you have to keep on warning, and you have to keep on advising and keep on encouraging. I mean, can you believe it? If somebody tells you, you are going to these people, you are going to talk to them, you are going to invite them, listen, they are not going to listen to you. How encouraged and how motivated will you be to go and speak to such a people? When you know none of them are going to listen to what you have to say, none of them are going to practice what you are about to tell them and what you are going to share with them, it's already decided with regards to them and with regards to the message that you are going to convey to them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and every one of us, you don't ever give up. You don't ever give up. Because the moment you feel discouraged, or the moment you give up, you are actually relying on your efforts. And you are considering yourself to be the cause. And you are considering yourself to be the one who is in charge of guidance and hidayah. And that is not in your hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are addressing a large audience, and there is someone in there, there is someone unknown to you who is listening to you, who is listening to you, and he will come forward, he will come to you, right? So he's following a dhikr, ittaba. Ittaba means to follow, meticulously follow. He's listening, he's calculating, he's absorbing, okay? So he's listening to the message. Perhaps not the first time, perhaps the second time, perhaps the third time. I mean, look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Look at Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They left their homes with the intention of assassinating the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came to the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the greatest lovers of the Nabi of Allah. So you keep on reminding and you keep on speaking. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُ. That one who was listening, who was paying attention, who came to realize that he was living a life of sin and a life of unmindfulness. He was ghafil, he was unmindful of Allah. Now he comes forward, he's ready to accept. Right? He comes to you. Now, this we as Muslims also experience. A person was living a life of sin, a life of heedlessness, a life far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then that moment comes in his life where Allah grants him hidayat. He listens to a talk or an event takes place in his life that makes him realize that, wait, what am I doing? Or one Ramadan is all that it takes to change the condition of his heart. Or he goes for Umrah. We as Muslims, what's the first thing that comes to that Muslim's mind and to the heart? The first thing that now you are ready to make the change. And in the case of this person who has been listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he now wants to embrace the faith. He wants to now change his life around. The first thing that comes to your mind is, but I really messed up in the past. What about my past? What about all the disobedience? What about the heedlessness? What about all the salah that I did not perform? What about all the acts of evil that I committed in the past? So there is a sense of guilt. And at times a person is consumed by that guilt. And he becomes despondent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُ. The first thing, congratulate this person who comes to you now to embrace the message of Islam and who's ready to make that change. First thing, give him the good news. Congratulate him with what? Maghfirah. Allah has forgiven your past life. Subhanallah. How amazing is the Quran? So that's the first thing. When you make that decision to make tawbah and turn to Allah, the first guaranteed promise from Allah is what? Maghfirah. You have earned the forgiveness of Allah. Your past life, Allah has forgiven. Allah subhanahu, this is a genuine tawbah. The genuine tawbah. Not a tawbah for a limited period of time. It's the month of Ramadan, so that's it. I'm going to abstain. But once the Hilal of Eid is sighted, then there's a good chance of me going back to my old ways. That's not the sincere tawbah. The sincere tawbah is where you've reached that point of realization in your life, and now you take a U-turn, and you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First thing you are guaranteed is maghfirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man, that one unknown person amongst the many who was listening to you and who paid attention and who heeded the advice and he feared Allah ar-Rahman while not seeing ar-Rahman bil-ghayb, فَبَشِّرْهُ, give him the good news of forgiveness. And what else? وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ, and give him the good news of a noble reward. أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. Why is that the second thing that you need to tell him? And why is that the second good news that he needs to receive? Because he's thinking to himself, sitting in the audience, and he's listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that okay, I'm going to accept. I've come to realize he's reached that point where he realized that this is the truth. And he's arrived at the truth. He's been following the advice. He arrived at the truth. He knows there is a Rahman. And he's going to believe in a Rahman without seeing a Rahman. But now the next question that comes to his mind, he says, but what about my people? I mean, look at this man who claims to be a prophet. Everyone despises him. Everyone mocks at him. The entire society looks down at him, and he was the best of the best. And this is how he is treated because he has chosen and adopted this path. What chance do I have of receiving any dignity, of receiving any honor, receiving any respect from my people? So Allah, so that's the second question that comes to his mind. So the first question was, what about my past life? Allah says, maghfirah is guaranteed. The next concern that he has is that, how am I going to now earn dignity, respect and honor from my community? And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to this person, that give him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ajr kareem, a noble reward. Because now you shouldn't be looking for respect from people. Now your definition of earning respect has changed. Now you want the honor and the dignity only from Allah. That is the ajr. So now no longer look for appreciation from people. And you and I sometimes in our lives as well, sometimes you have people living in families and they have this challenge where now they have realized to make tawbah and to turn to Allah and bring about a change in their lives. So that's one thing. But they have a fear. What's the fear? What are my parents going to tell me? What are my relatives going to tell me? What are my cousins going to tell me? My circle of friends, what are they going to tell me? Right? Because all this while you are living your life expecting dignity, honor, respect and appreciation from that quarters. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no longer look for honor, appreciation, respect, dignity from there. Don't expect it to come from there. You'll get hostility from there. That's what's going to come. You are going to be questioned. You might be ridiculed. You might be mocked at. You might be called names. People might say things to you, and it happens. The day that lady, she decides to wear the hijab or she decides to put on the niqab, the very first ones to question her, you will find are people within her home. People from amongst her relatives, her circle of friends who are Muslim. And that youngster, the same applies to that youngster. The same applies to that person. So the first area of hostility will come from within your own home and from within your own community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give the person the second good news, that ajr kareem. Now look for rewards from where? Allah. Don't be concerned with what people are going to say. Don't be concerned about the hostility that you are going to face from the people. So this is the second good news that you should give to this person, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move on to ayah number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna nahnu nuhil mawta. Inna, we spoke about the royal we. Without doubt, inna is used to emphasize a statement. We spoke of this. Indeed we, nahnu nuhil mawta, nahnu, we give life to al-mawta. Al-mawta is the plural of mayyit, the dead. Surely we give new life to the dead. Number one. Now you might ask yourself, what is this doing here? I mean, all this while, what was the conversation about? The conversation was about the message, the Quran. Right? First Allah validated the message. Then the conversation went on to the messenger. It made sense. The message. Then you need someone to carry the message, the messenger. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ validated the messenger. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained where the message came down from. تَنْزِيلَ الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ Right? So it's all in order. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conversation went on to those who denied the message. So it was, the conversation was all related to the message, the messenger, from where the message came, those who challenged the message. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. Indeed, we are the ones who will give new life to the dead. You might ask yourself, how does this fit into that conversation? So there are two explanations given over here. The first explanation is that this is part of the warning. This is part of the warning to those, issued to those who have rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rejected the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they should realize that their rejection of the divine message and their rejection of the messenger will certainly have consequences. You might not face the consequences in this world or in this life. By rejecting the messenger and the message with which he has come into this world. But inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. There's a day when you are going to die. And after you die, we are going to give you life once again. And then you will stand before Allah and you will then face the consequences of your rejection and your denial in the world. So that's the first explanation. It's a warning. It's a warning issue to them. The second explanation is, we did say, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we discussed this in last night's lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ Correct? About the qawm, the people to whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them that their ancestors and their forefathers were not warned. And we said for centuries, no prophet was sent to the Arabs. So what happened to their hearts? By the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, their hearts were literally dead. Their hearts were dead. So now the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking to himself that, oh Allah, you have sent me to a people who did not receive any warning or any divine message for centuries, number one. Number two, oh Allah, you have said to me that most of them, majority of them, are not going to believe. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to encourage and console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. Though you may feel their hearts are dead, are spiritually dead, and really their hearts were spiritually dead, we give life to the dead. Again, you warn, you advise, you encourage, but we are the ones who will enliven the hearts. If you listen to a talk and it changes your life, it's not the talk that changed your life. It's Allah. If you read a book or you listen to an ayah of the Quran being recited or an event took place in your life and it brought about a change in your life, do not attribute that change to that event. Do not attribute it to that ayah. Do not attribute it to that talk. Do not attribute it to the book. That was only and simply a means. You will find 10 people reading the same book, 10 people listening to the same talk, but two walking away with a changed heart. The talk was exactly the same. It was the same talk, the same words were spoken, but it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought about life into that heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is how it fits into the conversation that was taking place all this while. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. First thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we give life, new life to the dead. Secondly, Allah says, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ نَكْتُبُ كَتَبَ يَكْتُبُ means to write. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَكْتُبُ and we are recording. We are recording. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have the one or the two who will listen to the message, embrace the message. Majority of them are not going to accept the message. But listen, consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, we are writing, we are recording, ma qaddamu, whatever deeds they sent ahead. Qaddam is to send something ahead. It's amazing how Allah used the expression, this expression, for every deed that you perform. A good deed or a bad deed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a deed, what does Allah use? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's something that you have sent forth. Every deed that you perform is deposited into your qabr, or is deposited into the akhirah. You know, and that's why somebody said so beautifully that imagine your qabr or your grave to be a safe deposit box. It's a safe deposit box. Every deed, good or bad, is deposited into that box. And you will see it when you yourself enter that box. So you decide what you would like to expect and what you would like to see in that box the day you are lowered in that box. So that's why Allah says, مَا قَدَّمُوا, whatever they have sent forth, whatever they have sent ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have recorded it. وَآثَارَهُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they athar. Athar, whatever effects they leave behind. The word athar, it denotes the fruits or the outcomes, the consequences that show up later and that keep surviving. So one is the deed that you perform. But many a times the deed that you perform, there are certain traces that are left behind. There are certain consequences that are left behind. A good deed or a bad deed, right? An example of a good deed is a person writes a book. So one is the act of writing the book, a book on something beneficial that will be of benefit to the common Muslims. He'll be rewarded for that good deed. But writing that book and people are reading the book, they are now fruits and they are outcomes that are remain after his death also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we keep on recording that. We keep on recording that. And that's why we are encouraged in the hadith to perform such a deed that has traces, that leaves behind certain outcomes and consequences and fruits, good deeds. Why? So that after your demise, or once you have ended the deed, those traces will keep on continuing and it will be keep on being recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this chapter. This is let us refer to it as the first part of Surah Yasin before we move on to the next part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kulla shay, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything, kul means every, kulla shay, in everything, ahsaynahu is fully computed. Everything that they do, every act that they do, every statement that they have made against your Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is fully computed. It has been very meticulously and very, very carefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ahsayna. Ahsayna comes from the word ihsa. Ihsa does not simply mean to just record or to count, but it is to record and to count with utmost care and absolutely accurate counting. That is ihsa. One word we use in Arabic for counting is adda ya'uddu, wa in ta'uddu ni'mat Allah, if you count the favors of Allah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, we record it, katabna, or naktubuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention ad, general counting, or yaktub, just recording. Allah says, kulla shay'in ahsaynahu, we have very meticulously and accurately recorded every statement and every deed that was made by them against you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where have we recorded it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi imamin mubin. Imam refers to something that is in front. It refers to the book of deeds that will be placed in front of them. That is why the imam is called the imam, because he stands in front of the congregation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every one of these statements and deeds that they have performed, Allah says, we have recorded it in an imam, in a book. And that book will be mubeen, will be left wide open before them on the day of resurrection for them to see everything that they have committed and that we have recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere that when the disbeliever will be given the book of records, he will be so amazed and so shocked at that book of records that what will he say? مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What's the matter with this book? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has so meticulously and carefully calculated and recorded everything. صغيرة, everything small, everything big, things that we have even forgotten about, everything has been recorded in this book that will be placed before them, wide open before them on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. We have come, as I said, we have come to the end of the first part of Surah Yasin. As from tomorrow, we move on to the second part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of a very interesting narrative, a very interesting story related to a certain town, a certain village, to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent three anbiya, three of his prophets to them, and we will learn of what transpired in that little village. May Allah grant us the understanding.